do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The 2017 Audi A4 has arrived, a luxury sedan in a class of its own, boasting more power, efficiency, and intelligence. Test drive one today at Glenmore Audi.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, an hour from now, our pal Eric Francis from Calgary Sun and Sportsnet will join us, brought to you by the Beltliner. A little later on, the Stampeder Report. But right now, Matty Rose joins us with today's headlines.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to begin with the MLB, touch on the CFL, a little golf, and a little Evander Kane here in headlines today as well. The Toronto Blue Jays are opening up a 9-game homestand tonight. They begin it with a 3-game set against the Seattle Mariners. Jays got some good and bad news on the injury front today, and we'll start with the good, as Marco Estrada was activated from the DL. He's expected to toe the rubber for the Bluebirds, hasn't played since July 2nd due to back pain, and you know they'll welcome him back with open arms. They also activated pitcher Franklin Morales and optioned Aaron Loop and Andy Burns to AAA Buffalo. As far as the bad news goes, Russ Martin suffered an unfortunate incident today, something that we probably all have experienced at one point. He slipped in the shower and twisted his knee. John Gibbons says it's not serious, but Josh Tolley will catch for Estrada today and Dickey tomorrow, although that is nothing out of the norm. They do expect Martin back for the series finale on Sunday.
I'm the first guy to rail against upper and lower body injuries, but you can see where this would come in handy if you could just do a lower body rather than referring to the fact that Russell Martin passed out in a sauna, twisted his knee. He's fine. They've done an MRI, but it's really information that I'm not sure everybody needs to know.
Yeah, and I, for one, have not twisted my knee in the shower before. Matt, I don't
Matt
appreciate
kind of
you jumping to that
yeah.
assumption.
We're all proud of you.
I did, however, break my big toe trying to get out of bed when it got caught in my pajama pants one time, so there's that
injury.
Oh,
that's better.
Not
no,
so
no,
proud of you
that's
anymore.
Better. Yeah, yeah no, that's absolutely better, yeah, for sure.
Another Blue Jays note I wanted to touch on. Reports coming out last night, the Blue Jays were scouting a couple of pitchers as the trade deadline approaches for the MLB. CC Sabathia of the New York Yankees and Andrew Cashner of the Padres. Do you read into these rumors much, or is it just the Jays doing their homework?
Well, it's the Jays doing their homework. I mean, we now with social media and the availability and the identity of scouts are no longer, you know, hidden. We know who's watching whom and when, but, you know, my experience has been certainly in the National Hockey League. There's no shortage of scouts at every game, and to try and, I don't know, predict. Well, he's never here. There's two of them from that team. Something must be going on. The Jays must be looking for pitching. I don't think that's a secret for anybody, so they should be scouting everybody. I think the Yankees have fallen far enough back that maybe they will be, you know, letting somebody like CC Sabathia go. I'm not surprised. Are you?
No, not at all. I mean, with Aaron Sanchez's likely move to the bullpen, although the more he pitches and the longer he stays at the level he's been at this season, the more right. I think they have to think about that move. With Marco Estrada coming off the 15-day DL, there seems to be some concern that he might not be 100% and that you might need someone to spot start him here or there down the stretch. So, yeah, the Jays are looking, I would think, for at least one pitcher, maybe multiple pitchers, depending on what they do with Sanchez. So I don't think that there's much to read into this. Those are two pitchers who would give them depth, but let's be honest, CC Sabathia isn't what he once was.
Well, hold on now. I think I'm one team behind. I'm one New York team behind. He's with the Mets now, isn't he? Or is he with the Yankees?
Still with the Yankees.
He's still with the Yankees. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I thought I got former Expo great, though.
Yep.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Right? There you go.
That game, first pitch just after 5 o'clock. We'll join it in progress when the big show has concluded. You can also watch that one on Sportsnet West. Moving to the CFL real quick, Stampeder's report is in the next segment, so we'll be brief with this. Stamps and Red Blacks opened up Week 5 in the CFL yesterday. The Stamps ended up earning their second win of their season and their second win against the Bombers, this time by a 33-18 score. Bo Levi Mitchell had 3 TDs and a pick. His favorite receivers were Anthony Parker and Marquay McDaniel, as they had almost identical stat lines. Tommy Campbell led the defense with 11 tackles, while linebacker Alex Singleton continues to impress. The rookie only had 2 tackles, but he did have a good game. He's enjoying his time with the Stamps and learning plenty from some of the vets.
Defensively, Deron Mayo for sure has been, you know, someone to definitely lean on as a, you know, one of our captains. And then even, you know, offensively, Bo's helped a lot, just, you know, talking about situations that they go through and just, you know, talking whiteboard talk and everything. and just really everyone on the whole team has been super helpful with everything, you know, and leading the way.
And gentlemen, just a quick thought on the game. Overall, I thought the Stampeders played pretty well and that they deserved that win.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's two wins against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You know, the only, I guess, caveat in that is, and I mentioned it earlier, we talked about Derek. I don't think it's anything too concerning at this point, but, you know, you gave up in two games against the Blue Bombers. You've given up 40 points, 26 of those points coming in the fourth quarter. So a lot of garbage time points given up to Winnipeg this year.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that they've taken their foot off the gas in those two games. And I was at the first game played at McMahon Stadium in Calgary, and kind of a slow start for both teams in that game. But then the Stampeders really took the game over, and by the time the Blue Bombers did anything about it, it was way too late. So I think for the Bombers, they've got some issues. They've got to figure out who their quarterback is going to be in week number five. And for the Stampeders, all you can do is beat the team in front of you. And the Stamps
That's right.
did that last night. And gives them a little bit of momentum going into week five. And, you know, it's funny, earlier in the week we talked about, well, how are they feeling? They're not coming off a win. They're not coming off a loss. They're coming off a tie. Well, they took care of business last night, and that's all you have to do.
Absolutely.
Tonight, we got the undefeated Ottawa Redblacks taking their 3-0-1 record to Saskatchewan, where the Rough Riders will try for their first win this season. Gents, if Saskatchewan wants to win this game, they'll have to do something that nobody else has figured out how to do just yet. That's slow down the offensive duo of quarterback Trevor Harris and receiver Chris Williams of the Redblacks. Harris has 9 TDs through the air already. 6 of them to Williams. That's 3 more than anybody else in the league.
Yeah, I look back to that tie against the Stampeders, and I thought overall the Stamps did a pretty good job, especially with Harris, but didn't have an answer for Williams. He was outstanding. And, man, if he gets that ball in the open, he's gone. There's nobody that's going to keep up with him.
Can't deny that. That one kicks off at 7 o'clock tonight. The finale will be Monday. That's between Toronto and Montreal at 5:30, and Saturday, or pardon me, the other game this weekend has Hamilton in Edmonton. That one's on Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Shifting to hockey, bad news for Evander Kane and the Buffalo Sabres. As early this morning, Kane turned himself into police after he was charged with 4 counts of non-criminal harassment, 1 count of disorderly conduct, and a count of misdemeanor trespass as a result of an altercation that happened in the early hours of June 25th in Buffalo outside of a club. Kane's lawyer, Paul Cambria, told the Associated Press that his client denies the charges. Not the first time that the 24-year-old Kane has been in trouble with the law, as he faced sexual assault charges earlier this year, stemming back from an incident in December, although he was not charged in the end because there was not enough evidence to support the allegations.
This is a troubled young man who's found himself in the wrong. Just, you can't do this. He's got an... And the thing about Evander Kane, and I'm not talking about this situation, but Evander Kane's wake-up call should have been the trade from Winnipeg to Buffalo, right? Nothing good is happening for young players named Kane in Buffalo the last couple of years, and they've got nobody to blame but themselves. You can't put yourself in this position.
And that's the key, Rob. Now, innocent until proven guilty. Now, with that said, this alleged incident happened in June.
Right.
So clearly they've done their homework before taking the next step of arresting and charging him.
And that's a good point. For those who were wondering, going, oh, he was in trouble. No,
Same incident.
It's the same incident. It was around the draft or just before the draft.
Let's say he is found innocent, Rob, or let's say the charges are dropped or whatever happens here. The problem is he keeps putting himself in a position to get in trouble.
Yep.
Whether or not he did it or didn't do it, he put himself in a position to be accused of doing it.
Yep.
He has to stop that. I suggest moving out of downtown Buffalo into the suburbs where maybe there's a little less trouble to get into. But I mean, this is a player who's got a tremendous amount of talent, should be a top 6 guy, probably a first line forward in this league.
Yep.
And I think a guy who can be a pretty influential person both on and off the ice for a young Sabres team. And you look at the forwards they've got, the great young forwards they've got, Sam Reinhardt.
Yep.
High pick. Of course, this year they take Alex Nylander, another really talented young forward. Yep. Jack Eichel, potentially a generational player taken between those two guys in the first round. I'm not sure you want a guy like Evander Kane showing these guys what it takes to be a professional. So if I'm the Sabres,
you have
to do what you can to make sure that they do not follow his lead and that he cleans things up. There's a ton of potential there as a player, But he's got to stay out of trouble off the ice.
Well, and I can't help but wonder. I know there's already been some speculation out there that he could be on the move, and a team like Vancouver has been, if nothing else, you know, associated just because of their need to try and improve their forward units. To me, if I'm a general manager in the National Hockey League, I'm looking at this and going, no, not interested.
But you know how GMs in exactly the NHL and every GMs other sport are.
But we
can fix them.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. But I can't help but think this is a guy that in 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to be talking about, well, he's looking for that. He says he's cleaned up his life and he says he's changed and he's ready and he's matured and all of that. Somebody's got to step in. And whether that's, you know, whether that's Tim Murray or whether that's, you know, somebody else, the Dan Bylsma or whoever in Winnipeg, or his agent or a former player or a mentor or somebody like that, somebody's got to stop this kid and get his head on straight. Because it's the first couple of times, I never really got too bent out of shape about the money in the Twitter from Vegas, you know, rolling around on the bed or whatever.
Right.
But this is unacceptable.
I guaranteed they try to fix him in Winnipeg. And I guarantee they've tried to fix him in Buffalo.
Absolutely.
They've got great ownership there that's very involved in Terry and Kim Pegula. They've probably talked to him one-on-one. Tim Murray.
For sure.
I guarantee has done it. Dan Bylsma. But ultimately, it all comes down to him.
Yep.
He has to realize that there's a problem.
Yep.
And he has to be willing to change. And he hasn't shown that willingness to this point in his career. And you think about what happened with him late in his days with the Jets. And the story about Dustin Byfuglien throwing his clothes into the shower because they just had enough of him. And you hope this guy, because he is so talented, figures it out, because he can be a really good player for the Sabres or whoever. He can be good for the game, but
part of it might be what you said before, you're absolutely right that, you know, sports and hockey are all about second chances. This is a guy that maybe shouldn't get a second chance right now. Right now. Shouldn't get a second chance right now. Maybe he needs to be on the outside for a little while. Maybe this needs to hit home. We'll see. It's alleged. We'll let the courts play itself out. And of course, we know what happened last year and what a debacle it was around Patrick Kane, and no charges came out of that. So we'll let that play itself out. But certainly the wrong guy to have this happen to.
Definitely, guys. So that story will continue to follow as it continues. August 1st is the first court date for Evander Kane. And one final stop on headlines today. As the RBC Canadian Open continues at Glen Abbey in Ontario, and we got a couple Canucks still kicking around the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson is your current leader. He shot 1 under par today, putting him 7 under on the tournament. But we had Jared Dutoit. Came in good today. He plays out of the Glencoe here in Calgary, but it looks like he's just collapsed on one of the holes.
Yep.
Fallen down to a tie for 8th. He's now 1 over today and 4 under on the weekend, putting him 3 strokes back of the leader. Gentlemen, when I started headlines, he was tied for first place with Dustin Johnson. So
he's dropped 3 shots.
Exactly what happened. Sure what happened there, but not a good hole for Dutoit. We'll see if he can recover. He's through 11.
Oh, I know exactly what happens. You get up to the tee box, you hit it, it goes directly into the left, into the rough. You go find it, you hit it again, it goes left again, and you have to drop another ball, and then you do it again. I've done this a million times, guys. I'm an expert in how this happens. I'm very aware of how you do this.
Yeah, and it looks like he ran into a problem on the second hole. Now, I say that because he started on the back 9 today.
Yep.
So now he's moved on to the front 9. He parred number 1. So it must have been on the number 2 par 5, a 527-yard hole. They have not updated his hole-by-hole scores, but he went from minus 7 to minus 4 in an awful hurry. So he's fallen off the pace. As you mentioned, Dustin Johnson, Luke List now tied. And tied for third, KK.
Ken King?
No.
Kelly Kirsch?
No. Okay. Kelly Kraft.
Oh, Kelly Kraft. Okay.
Old
is that
Kelly
where Kirsch is right now?
He's golfing. Yeah, he's
golfing
at Glen
at
Abbey.
RBC Canadian
That's
Open.
Why he's not here this week.
What a vacation.
Oh, it's always work for him. Always work.
Other couple Canadians that are still in the running. Garrett Rank, who Derek mentioned, now a full-time NHL referee. He's through 11 holes. He's playing with Jared Dutoit today. He's even 3 under on the weekend. Then we got Adam Hadwin, who is representing Canada at the Rio Olympics. He's 2 under on the day. That's 2 under on the weekend for him as well. But he's way back, tied for 23rd. Those are your headlines on a Friday, gentlemen.
Thank you, Matt. We're not done with you. We're going to put you to work in the next segment. We've got the Stampede Report for ATB coming up. And as well, I'm afraid he's made a transgression or two today that can't just be passed by. Derek Wills goes on trial when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The 2017 Audi A4 has arrived, a luxury sedan in a class of its own, boasting more power, efficiency, and intelligence. Test drive one today at Glenmore Audi.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on the big show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
The Calgary Stampeder Report, brought to you by ATB Financial. Put your money where your heart is with ATB Financial. Bank on Alberta and bank on a strong return. Who's got your back? At ATB, we do.
Stamps coming off a 33-18 win over Winnipeg. Here's Matty Rose with today's Stampeder Report.
Well, Stampeders were in action yesterday. They would end up defeating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, that by a 33-18 score. Bo Levi Mitchell with another good day. He went 29-41 through the air, 70.7 completion percent, 310 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. The longest pass of the day was 33 yards for him. Favorite targets for Bo Levi, Anthony Parker and Marquay McDaniel. Both of them had 7 receptions and a touchdown. The only difference, 1 yard in their receiving. Anthony Parker caught 81 and Marquay McDaniel had 80. Another good game for Jerome Messam as well. The running back had 4 catches for 30 yards through the air. While on the ground, he rumbled for another 95-yard total on the day for Messam. Shifting to the defensive side of the ball, Tommy Campbell led the way with tackling. He had 11 tackles on the defensive side. Garrett Davis and Deron Mayo both had 7, while rookie linebacker Alex Singleton had 2. He continues his impressive play. One thing that we know of Alex is he is a rookie this year, playing for a rookie defensive coordinator, Devon Claybrooks.
He is easy to, you know, compare things as a player, not just, you know, coming down as a coach. And I think it definitely helps a lot to understand and have a guy that, you know, would have played in front of you on the D-line that can tell you what's going on or be able to, because I've always had, you know, defensive coaches that were safeties or linebackers and never a D-lineman. And so he really helps with, you know, the scheme of the game, the run game, the pass, you know, the pass rushes and everything. So it's helped a ton that way, and he's just a good leader of the defense.
So we had Alex Singleton actually on the show a little bit earlier today, and that entire interview will be online at sportsnet.ca/960 in just a little bit here. It was another good outing for the Stampeders, gentlemen. In the end, they walk away with their second win of the season, 33-18 victory. It's also their second win of the season over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
They move on to play BC at home next week. They're going to see Saskatchewan and a little bit more of the Leos. Of course, heading into the end of August, it'll be the, beginning of September, it'll be the back-to-back with Edmonton and then into some games against the East. But, Derek, you said it all. You know, you keep coming back to the point. You can only play the teams in front of you. And to me, you know, okay, 2 wins against Winnipeg. We've talked at length about Winnipeg. They have a loss in BC that they should be smarting from and hopefully will use as some sort of motivation next week. And they had a tie against the hottest team in the league. So all in all, a good start to the season, but not great, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's a good summary of what's happened to the Stamps. 2-1-1 so far, and if it's its and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right?
That's what I was trying to remember yesterday. I can't, yeah. I butchered it, but yeah, that's what I was trying to remember.
And I mean, you could argue they should be 4-0 or could be 4-0, and they could be 4-0. There's no doubt about it, but they're not. They're 2-1-1. And if you can get your stumbles out of the way early and, you know, stay above 500 and stay in contention, then sometimes that helps you become a better team late. And they've taken care of business twice against the Blue Bombers, a team that, quite frankly, they should beat. They were right there against the Red Blacks, who have been the best team in the league so far this season. I think they're in a good spot after 4 games. That bye week clearly helped them again, as it has since 2005. And looking forward to seeing where they go from here. They've got that offensive line intact. They've got some depth at the receiver position, which we learned last night. Even without Joe West, there's still plenty of targets to go around from Bo Levi Mitchell. And I think rounding in the form a little bit here.
That Thanks to Matt and thanks to Derek is today's Stampeder Report.
The Calgary Stampeder Report, brought to you by ATB Financial. Put your money where your heart is with ATB Financial. Bank on Alberta and bank on a strong return. Who's got your back? At ATB, we do.
Eric Francis coming up at the top of the hour, brought to you by the Beltliner. It pains me to have to do this. I don't want to. It's always been a last resort, but I think today we were put over a little bit over the edge, and I'm afraid, Derek, I have to put you on trial. Sportsnet 960.
I'm ready.
Court. Judge Matty Rose presiding. Your Honor?
Honorable, yes.
Honorable Matty Rose presiding. Are you ready?
It is. My lawyers have not arrived yet.
No.
Harvey Specter and Mike Ross are not here yet.
This is how our little kangaroo court works. I will provide the evidence to the court, give you a very brief, and I mean very brief, opportunity to defend yourself. All after, because you really are my only witness.
I'm not even sure what I've done yet.
Well, that's the thing. I will lay out the transgressions, and I will leave it at the Honorable Matty Rose, our judge, at his feet to come up with a suitable punishment. If, and I'm assuming he will, because I think I have an ironclad case here, airtight, I think he would dole out the punishment. Justly, fairly. That's how I know Matty Rose. I can't speak for everybody, but I know him to be a just and a fair arbitrator and adjudicator. Are both parties ready? I will present, first of all, the two charges. And I'm going to go chronologically backwards in this. It was originally one charge, and then, sir, at approximately 3:02 p.m. on this date, July 22nd,
approximately.
2016, approximately 3:02, at an opportunity about 120 seconds after we should have taken a break to start Football Fridays, you, sir, came up with the topic of allowing younger players to play in the American Hockey League and not necessarily remain in junior, which, sir, is a great topic and one that I would like to discuss, but it cannot, and this is where the transgression was made, you cannot enter these types of subjects, these types of ideas at 3:02 when I am trying to go to another subject. That interferes with my ability to segue from one topic to the next. You have introduced information that is far just too much, too important to just
too juicy
gloss over and walk away from. Yet I am forced to, because we need to play spots. We need to have guests on at the right time. So, sir, your first charge against you is introducing a good topic at a bad time. How do you plead?
I plead guilty.
Oh, well, this was easy. This trial's going to go really well.
You're not
all
wrong.
Right, all right. Okay, well, that was the first one. Okay, the second charge against you, and I'm not sure how you're going to feel. Mr. Judge, Mr. Rose, please,
yeah.
we'll hold on the judging and the sentencing until.
Do I ask for a mistrial now or later?
Later.
Later.
Okay. Later. It's a kangaroo court.
Everybody
asks
later.
The whole thing's a mistrial. The second charge against you, and dare I say the most egregious charge that will be laid against you today. Derek Wills, how do you plead to using the text line 960-960 for your own personal gain?
I plead guilty to that as well.
Oh, come on now.
Now I have to come up with
I was about to come up with evidence that I came in and here you were using the 960-960 text line to have people help you plan things for your guests. I mean, that's not what the 960, you're not supposed to benefit from the 960-960 text line. You just aren't supposed to benefit from that. So that's a transgression. Do you have anything to say for yourself?
Now, I'm wondering now,
okay,
if me pleading guilty to both of these charges leads to a third charge of not playing along.
No.
It's a stretch.
No, because if we charged everybody with that, we'd never get anything done around here, right? We can't. Certainly, that would just bog the whole process down. There's a little bit of give and take in all of this.
Yeah, now,
so you admit you're guilty of using the text line.
Yeah, I am.
Because
I
that's not what the text line is for. The text line is for people to...
to help me.
How does Kelly...
No.
Not to help you, but to criticize you or to bring up information that you've forgotten.
That's only when Pinder was on.
Tell us that we're idiots.
Tell us we're idiots. These are the types of things. You can't go...
Oh, we still got some of that.
Well, yeah, okay.
No, we always get some of that.
But when you have friends coming over, don't use your show. Don't use this program to help you. That's what you have Tourism Alberta for. That's what the AMA there...
Go ask.
Help me help you.
No.
Help me help you.
Help who? Help.
What? No,
sorry, is this your defense?
I don't know.
This is your defense.
You really should have waited for your lawyers to show up.
No, I don't. So, but you plead guilty. You continue. You want to stick with your guilty plea?
Talking about the text line being used for my own personal gain, someone just texted into 96960.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, want to make a quick $100? That's funny.
Well, I guess if, again, you've made your plea. Guilty on both charges?
I plead guilty on both charges.
Your Honor?
With the reasoning of insanity.
The prosecution rests on the two charges, the transgressions, as we've noted here. Too good a topic at a bad time. We can't do that. And using the text line for own personal gain. It's too bad because I had some great probing questions. If he was going to defend himself, I would ask, of course, have you ever used your position as a way of gaining anything? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and go, you know who I am? That's what I would have done.
I have, but no one recognized
no,
me.
No, not you.
Oh,
you're
no,
the freaking judge.
Oh,
not
see
you.
What I mean? This is reason for a mistrial
not
right here.
You.
The judge doesn't even know who's on trial here.
So, Maddie.
He thinks it's him.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
You might be the judge here in a second. So what did you... You went to what and said you were from where to get what?
Oh, I just usually try and drop my name, but no one really knows who I am.
Matt, you better give Lewis Lid a call.
Lewis Lid.
Lit.
I don't know who that is, so I'm just going to keep playing
this. Yeah, well, you just got lit up.
Dun, dun. Oh.
All right.
Oh, that was some sort of clever burn?
Have you never watched Suits?
No. I just like to wear suits.
Order! Order in this court! I would like now sentencing.
That's a flag.
I would like
I'm calling the commissioner, Peter Lavanius, right now, and he's going to throw a flag.
That's the gavel. You got to be quiet.
That is the gavel. Order in the court.
Okay, so do you care to punish the guilty here?
After hours and hours of careful and very, very deliberation.
Yes.
We have decided that Derek Wills is, in fact, guilty.
I and, pleaded guilty. Pleaded. You haven't decided anything.
I was not finished because I'm still trying to come up with his penalty in my head as
right.
we're going.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that Josh Humphries doesn't work for this station.
He does not,
and
no.
And he used to buy the beer for the beer fridge in the hot stove lounge.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, he didn't.
Whoa.
Humphries has never bought anything for anybody in his life.
I don't know if that's true either.
But I'm certainly not going to take him
false.
To court on that.
Yeah. I think that you should be the first one to fill the Hot Stove Lounge beer fridge for using
we
the
have
text
a sponsor.
Line to further your own personal agenda as well as, what was the other one?
Too good a topic
yes,
at a bad time.
Distracting the listeners with an awesome topic when we have to start talking about something else.
Okay, first of all,
right.
We have a great sponsor.
We do.
That brings us beverages for the Hot Stove Lounge, right?
Wow, the old Willow Park.
Secondly, what would Pat Steinberg do if I filled that fridge? Because that's his job.
Yeah, he's got you there, Matty.
And if you were to take that off his plate, I'm not sure there'd be much left on it.
Matty, I think, not for the prosecution, I guess I could put in there that, you know, we think restitution of perhaps cleaning the Hot Stove Lounge.
Ooh.
I think that would be what the prosecution would be
like
looking for,
one.
Like a real good...
Now, in my defense,
you had your defense.
Hold on now.
You pled guilty.
Mr. Kerr.
You pled guilty to
Mr.
both
Kerr,
charges.
I did. But this charge, I plead innocent to this charge because you're in the Hot Stove Lounge every day.
Yes.
Pretty much during the hockey season.
Right.
And when the Flames are at home, I'm in there and that's where I do my prep.
Right.
I eat my lunch at one of those little Flames tables.
Yeah, that's right.
What do I do after I finish my lunch every day?
Oh, I didn't know you clean up.
I clean up.
No, but that's not why it's punishment. The punishment is that you have to clean up for us because...
Right.
You done goofed.
It's not... Again, you can't benefit from your own punishment, Derek. That's not how this works.
You
Someone's offered me $100.
Here.
I don't know.
Derek, you are now hereby punished to go to Banff for the weekend. Go. Go. Have a holiday.
You have to
it's
go fishing with your friends and such.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to make the text line interactive. That's all I'm trying to do.
You were trying to benefit from the
help
text
me
line.
Help me help you.
Okay, enough. Enough.
That's enough of that?
Enough of that.
Okay.
Suspend his sentence. Get me out of here.
Yeah, hey. The judge rests his case.
What? You know you don't rest
this
the
guy
case.
Over here, the
Sorry,
judge, should be in front of the jury, not me.
You know what? I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree. Just suspend his sentence.
You're I can't
suspended.
Believe you've never seen Suits.
You're suspended.
You're like the Daniel Hartman of this radio station.
That
you don't even know what that means, no. And that's why I just said it. Look it up. Hey, why don't you Google it?
I don't know where the clip is.
I can dream about you, Dan Hartman. Is that what you just said? Dan Hartman. I can dream about you.
Is that a song?
Yes. What do you mean, is that a song? That might be the third charge.
You Google it.
You Google it.
There it is.
That's one of my favorite clips.
You Google it.
Yeah, well, I suppose you got a suspended sentence on that.
It is Friday, right? Like, we're right off the rails here.
Completely. Although, I am going to make you double back on that topic.
Yeah, this is not the Mona Lisa.
You know, we get into these Lou audio boards.
I love them.
And then the thing just never ends. Actually, I do. What's that?
I could go all day.
Yeah, I know you could, Manny. I know you could.
So could I.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will restore order and law to this program. And when we come back, we want to pick up. I do want to grab the idea and what you talked about when it came to Matthew Tkachuk and other young players.
Okay.
It's really more just a debating point at this time. It's not, for anybody who's just tuning in going, oh, this must be, it's not. It's just two guys having a hockey conversation, and it's something that's come up. It's come up before. I can see it from both sides. Clearly, you have an opinion on it. We'll talk about it when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Having said all of that, we've come to the conclusion, the one thing we can all agree on, Peter Labardius playing Pokemon Go is something we need to see.
He'd have to Google it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He's Derek, I'm Rob, and he's going to be around a couple of days next week. Not all week, as many of you texters know, but wanted to pick up on something. And again, it's July. This is the time where you can have a little fun or you can just have some good old-fashioned, you know, sports bar type conversations. And I thought you brought up a really interesting topic that I wouldn't say I'm passionate about, but I very much see it from both sides. We were talking about the Flames' sixth overall pick this year, Matt Tkachuk, 19-year-old kid by the time he comes to camp, right? Is that right? 19 or 18? 18. Google
it! Now you've got
you
me thinking
Google
about it.
You Google it! Hold on. I'm just sitting on the book right here. I've got the book. So let me, just so that we're all on the same page.
Born December 11th, so he'll still be 18.
Okay, but he's going to turn 19 this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not talking about a 17-year-old at the draft who just turns 18. We're talking about a guy that's a little bit older, I guess, is part of how I would frame this conversation. You and I were making up lines and talking about lines, and everybody keeps coming to the same thing, is Tkachuk going to be here? The potential is there. Sean Monahan was a sixth overall pick. He made this team, you know, the year after or that fall. And there's no doubt that he definitely addresses a need in terms of skilled winger and what the Flames are looking for. The organization, on the other hand, you know, may, as I think we both agree on, aren't going to give him the opportunity. He's just flat out going to have to earn it. And if he's not ready, he's not ready. Which brought us to an interesting point, which you raised as a guy who spent a lot of time around the American Hockey League. And that is this idea of maybe there should be, hold on, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Are you talking about special discompensation where you should apply to have a young player or any player? Once you draft them, they should be able to go to your American Hockey League?
No, I don't think it should be any player, and I don't think it should be every player.
Okay.
I think that there should be an exemption made from time to time.
Right.
Almost like the CHL exemption for exceptional players.
Right.
Okay, so you have to,
Exceptional player status. You
have to apply for that, right?
Right.
And then they review it, and they go from there.
Right.
I'm just thinking that there are a lot of guys who have learned almost everything they can learn at the junior level, or the junior level.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe aren't quite ready to be full-time NHLers. So you have a choice. You can,
right.
You can play them up to 9 games, send them back. But beyond that, unless you want to burn a year, then you've got to send them back.
There are a couple of exceptions to this, and that is players that are drafted from European teams, I believe, and players the young defenseman that Dallas drafted was playing it. I want to say Swift Current or Moose Jaw. I can't remember.
Well, Oliver Shillington's a great example.
Well, no, but and I'll get to Shillington in a second. I'm just thinking there was a player that Dallas drafted a couple years ago that was on a Western Hockey League roster, but the Western Hockey League team released him before the draft. They released him so he was free and clear. He was not drafted off a Western Hockey League team. Like Oliver Shillington, was not a CHL player, therefore could go to the American
right.
Hockey League. And that's happened. There's a little, you know, there are little opportunities here and there. But for the most part, if you were drafted out of the CHL, if you're a CHL player and you don't make the NHL, your only option is go back to the CHL. And what you're proposing is some sort of exceptional status.
Right. And I mean, just to make it clear, there are very few 18 and 19-year-old players in the American Hockey League. Very few.
Very few.
Whether they come from Europe,
right.
And certainly
right.
if they come from North America.
I do know this, not to make your argument for you, I do know this, that the Calgary Flames were really happy with the development they got out of Oliver Shillington.
Absolutely.
Not to say he wouldn't have got that with Kelly McCrimmon and the Brandon Wheat Kings, who were a team that went to the Memorial Cup. That would have been some experience too. But we're also talking in the case of Oliver Shillington, a young man who's been playing pro hockey in Sweden since he was 16. So... you know.
But also a guy who had to mature both on and off the ice.
Agreed.
And they felt that the best place for him to do that, because he wasn't ready for the NHL last season,
right.
was in the AHL.
And
where you're hanging around with men, you're playing against men. You learn what it takes to be a pro at that level pretty quick. And Shillington's a guy who probably thought, hey, I'm going to go to the AHL and I'm going to dominate. He's always dominated, but that didn't happen, and he had to learn how to play the pro game in North America.
And Ron Robison, the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, who's a longtime listener to this program, just drove off the road because he would hear this.
No, and
he
get it.
And he would go, but he could have been developed. The same things could be taught. The reason, this is as I understand it, Derek, the reason this does not happen is it's part of the partnership with the Canadian Hockey
yes.
League. That the Canadian Hockey League is a developmental league, and there's no doubt there's a direct correlation. They are compensated for developing hockey players, but they also feel like if they're not in the National Hockey League, they should get them for that one extra year. For the most part, I don't think you'd have to convince me, and maybe you would, but you'd have to convince me or show me an example of a player that has been hurt by coming back to the CHL.
And it's not that they would be hurt by returning to the CHL.
We both agree.
It's that they would benefit from playing in the AHL.
Yep.
Because take a guy, for example, you know what? Shillington's probably the best example that's at top of mind right now. But even a guy like Rasmus Anderson. So here's a guy who has been very, very good in the Ontario Hockey
League. Let's try this one. What about Jonathan Drouin? Because Jonathan Drouin was drafted fairly high
mm-hmm.
and was sent back, right? He was sent back to junior. Would Jonathan Drouin would it have turned out better or different for him had he not had to go back to the Quebec League but could have gone to the American League affiliate of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I believe it would have benefited him. I do.
Right.
I do. I just think that... And just to be clear, and I don't want to upset the Canadian Hockey League or fans of the CHL, because I do think that all three junior leagues in Canada should be protected and that they should, in most cases, get to keep their star players who aren't quite good enough to get to the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there should be an occasional exception to that rule, and maybe you put a time limit on it. Maybe once every 5 years you can apply to have a first-round pick given an exemption to play in the AHL because you feel that he will develop at a much quicker rate mm-hmm. playing against professionals and against men
yeah.
than if he were to go back and play against a percentage of players where most guys that play in the CHL aren't going to play in the NHL. That's
yeah.
It's math.
That's
right?
The numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Look, not all of the right? first-round players are going to play in the NHL.
Right, but 80-plus percent of guys in the NHL have played in the AHL.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't think it should be with every player. I don't think it should be with most players or even some players, with the exception of maybe one guy per organization every 3 years or 5 years.
You mentioned the...
And Matthew Tkachuk could potentially be that. Now, maybe he puts all this to bed and makes the NHL at a training camp and never sees the light of day in the AHL. Maybe that's the way it goes. But right. I'm just saying that, you know, and maybe he's a good example. Maybe he's not. And we'll have a better idea of where he's at come training camp in the preseason when we get to see him against NHL competition. But I mean, you look back to development camp, and I didn't leave WinSport saying, wow, could you believe Matthew Tkachuk?
Right.
Or, wow, could you believe Matthew Tkachuk?
Right.
He didn't stand out positively or negative to me at development camp. So I don't know. Maybe he's going to be great. Maybe he's not going to be great at training camp and in the preseason when he tries to make this team.
Well, but yeah.
I do think that there should be an exception. I don't think there will ever be an exemption, but I think there should be.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in hockey in hockey operations at the NHL level that would agree with you. I think it's the respect of the agreement, and I think it's the respect. This is where it gets... you know, obviously a little wonky, is what's best for the player, right? You know, it doesn't help a CHL franchise if you take one of their best players away. It doesn't.
It doesn't help the league as a whole.
No, but it certainly doesn't help the team. And you can talk about the bottom line or the draw as much as you want. That's fine. But also, you know, the raise the water level. You raise the skill level. That raises the level, or should raise the level of people around. There's a benefit to the team. The exceptional player status, which you speak of, we don't see a lot out here. We see it more in the Ontario Hockey League. I think probably John Tavares is an example of it. You know, players, there's once... Connor McDavid. Every 5 years or something like that. Is that what you're looking at? Again?
Something along those lines. And again, it's something you'd have to apply for. You can't just do it. And maybe there are other ways you could go about having this exemption.
Can you,
it to teams. But here, let me throw this out there,
please,
because I think it supports my argument, Rob. You look at guys who sign ATOs to play in the American Hockey League once their junior seasons come to an end.
Right.
And you look at how much those guys learn in a very short period of time. And you hear from these guys time after time after time talking about how important that was to take that next step in their career. Once their junior team is eliminated from the playoffs, to go to the American Hockey League and learn what it takes to be a pro, both on and off the ice, and how much that helps them at the start of the next season.
I don't disagree with it. I understand the logic behind it. I always get a little dicey about, you know, him but not him, you know, making that decision of how will... You know, what's the line? What's the difference? What are you going to... Look, there's bad junior operators, but there's bad NHL organizations too, right? You know, as much as we believe in Ryan Huska, and there's probably some NHL minor league system right now that just isn't developing players. So they may not be. They may be better staying in the Canadian Hockey League. I wonder if all of this is solved by the conversation that is taking place and has taken place for the last couple of years about the possibility of raising the draft age. If you raise the draft age to 19, would you not think then that rule could then come out?
But again, players from the Canadian Hockey League...
If you raise it to 19...
I bet at 19, you're not going to play the AHL anyway.
What?
You'd have to be 20, because you're still junior eligible, right?
True, I suppose, but, you know, you're right.
I think that's something worth looking at.
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder if that, okay, maybe it doesn't become a blanket at 19, everybody can go, but maybe there does need to be some thought to exactly what you're talking about. Because it works both ways, too. Like, you know, we're not, again, hard-pressed to find the player that has been set back by not going there, but we've also seen players come back from there. We've also seen players that aren't ready for the American Hockey League come back and play their overage year, too.
Absolutely, and maybe that's where there's a happy medium, Rob. Maybe you can't do it with an 18-year-old, but could do it with a 19-year-old under the current draft status where you're drafted at 17 or 18 in that year. So I think that... There's reasons why you should do it, and there's reasons why you shouldn't do it. And ultimately, I think that the organization that drafts a player should, at least with some guys, sometimes have the ability to decide where they are best served developing that player.
Yep.
And you know, someone on the text line threw the name Mitch Marner out there. So let's use him as an example, okay? Yep. So he's drafted by the Maple Leafs. He's, you know, obviously a top prospect for that organization. So if the Maple Leafs were sitting down at the start of last season and they said, okay, here's our options. We can send Marner back to junior where he can play for a London Knights team that right. we feel has a chance to win the Memorial Cup.
Right.
Or we can send him to the American Hockey League where as a smaller player, maybe he's going to be in a little bit over his head. He's still going to grow. But he'll also have an opportunity to play on a Toronto Marlies team that we think will have a chance to compete for the Calder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they decide to send him to the AHL. Maybe they decide not to. And to your point, there are teams that are going to have more confidence in their AHL teams than other organizations will.
Yep.
There are NHL teams who will take a long look at how a junior team plays, who their coaches are, what their reputation is for developing guys that get to the next level. And they might decide that, hey, our best option is to send him back to the London Knights, a CHL team that has developed countless NHLers.
But I just wonder if the texter was not bringing that name in because in his mind, and I understand whoever sent in Mitch Marner's name, I'm not pretending to know where you're coming at it, but I hear that and I go, is he saying he was too good for junior? That because he produced the way he did, because at the end of the day, he was just better than everybody else at the Memorial Cup, that it was a wasted year for him. I don't see it that
way. Again, I don't know either.
I don't see it that way. But, you know, what Mitch Marner did last year was pretty special.
Absolutely.
To your point, that doesn't happen every year. What worries me is when you open the door a crack, all of a sudden, at what point do we begin? You know, the Austin Matthews, here you go again. You're going on trial. It's almost 5 o'clock. But the Austin Matthews case of him going to Europe to play pro as opposed to playing
junior. That's a great
junior,
example,
right?
Actually.
It, we have a lot, you know, there's a lot of different circumstances, different influences, parents, agents, teams, players. Look, nobody's crucifying the kid because he didn't play in Everett. You know, as a matter of fact, everybody seems to take the positives out of it, right?
And with all due respect to the Swiss League,
yeah.
It's not at the level the AHL's at. So
No. Absolutely.
So I'm not saying that NHL teams should right to send a guy to the ECHL because they don't think that they're either physically ready or mentally ready to play in the AHL. I'm not saying that should be an option at all.
But I think, if anything, it does prove that you should be having this conversation. And quite honestly, I think they are. I think that's why this working group, that they're not publicizing as much. We know what's happening. But the CHL, the NCAA, you know, the NHL, everybody's meeting in the summer and talking about development. I just love the conversation because it's July and I think it's a great one.
Yeah,
and it's fun.
In the case of Mitch Marner, I'm sure he continued to develop even though he was one of the best players in the CHL. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because he played for the Hunters.
Right.
They know what it takes to develop an NHL player. Right. So in that system, playing for a team as good as the London Knights, there is a lot to be learned for Mitch Marner.
But what if he
and
played
winning him? And winning a championship?
Yeah,
I believe really fast forwards his development as well.
What if he played in Flint though? And now Flint's a real.
But this is my
real
point.
Egregious.
You take a look at where they play junior, and that's certainly going to factor into your decision.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting
because
No, I am not trying you twice in the same show. You keep that thought. When we get back together next week, we'll bring it up. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
I would encourage you to go to the AMA. They have lovely people that will help you plan your friends' vacations when they come here. That's what they'll do. Call Travel Alberta. They'll have some ideas for you.
I don't need any more ideas. The texters have
don't use taken our texters
for me.
Coming up. In the 5 o'clock hour, you know him, you love him, from Calgary Sun and Sportsnet. He's going to join us right around the corner, Eric Francis. And this weekend is the 2016 Alberta Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Camware. As a matter of fact, tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, we'll have a special two-hour program. We're going to hear from a number of the inductees, including Mike Rogers. Yes, that Mike Rogers. And later on in the hour, a very special guest will join me. And we'll take a look at Mike Rogers being honored by the Alberta Hockey Hall of Fame. It's all coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.